Lawsville Sheriff Station, Deputy Shalette. How can I help you?
Hi, I'm calling from Joffrey's Restaurant in Malibu.
Yeah.
We have a guest here who is refusing to pay her bill, and we think she may... I mean, she sounds really crazy. She may be on drugs or something.
Matrice Richardson was a profound thinker, a ferocious caregiver, and an unbridled spirit. She loved fully and lived spontaneously. When she was arrested in the unfamiliar hills of Malibu, California, she started acting strange, but regardless was released into the night to fend for herself, and was never heard from again. I'm your host, Michael, and this is Strange and Unexplained. Matrice was a brilliant and talented person. She was an honor student, a competitive cheerleader, a dancer, and beauty queen. She graduated from Cal State University in Fullerton with a bachelor's in psychology in 2008. She had the intention of pursuing her passion for the subject to its fullest. She planned to apply for graduate school with an emphasis on child psychology. She was also planning on taking a job as a substitute teacher shortly before she disappeared. After graduating college, Matrice moved to Watts, California, a suburb of LA, to live with her 91-year-old great-grandmother, Mildred Hughes. She planned to help care for the aging matriarch, who was living alone at this time. She started working a clerical job, and also worked part-time as a go-go dancer. She ate dinner with her great-grandmother every Wednesday night, until one night. September 17th, 2009. Matrice regrettably informed her grandmother that she would be unable to make dinner on that Wednesday night because she had plans. So instead, the two just spent a little time together chatting before she left for the beach. Matrice left Mildred's house around 5 p.m. that evening and headed west 40 miles to the beautiful shores of Malibu. Around 7:30 p.m., she pulled into a very popular and posh restaurant known as Joffrey's. She was informed by the valet that it was valet parking only. He told her that he would return to park her car after he parked the one in front of her. When the valet returned, he found Matrice had left her car and was now sitting inside his personal car, and was apparently just sitting and looking inside, looking through his stuff, his CDs, through his glove box. When he asked her what she was doing, she responded in words that didn't make a sentence. He led the young lady to the door of the restaurant and left her with the hostess. Matrice was seated by herself, but saw a group of people nearby that seemed to be having fun, so she went over and asked to join them. The group obliged, as they were very intrigued by her. But the more they talked to her, the more things seemed off. She talked a lot about astrology, told them she was from Mars, then mentioned that she was in Malibu to avenge the death of Michael Jackson, of all things. The group left shortly after, and Matrice was left alone with her $60 steak and cocktail. She stayed a little while longer and then got up to leave. But as she went out towards the door, the manager stopped her and asked her to pay her bill. At first, Matrice laughed it off and said that her friends had paid for the meal. But the manager informed her that they did not, and she was responsible for her own ticket, which totaled $89. Matrice admitted she didn't have her wallet on her and didn't have a way to pay, so the manager asked if there was someone that she could call to settle the bill for her. She gave them her great-grandmother Mildred's number. Mildred was called and informed of the situation and asked if she could help Matrice. She was confused but offered to give her credit card and information over the phone. The manager informed her that she would need to come down and sign or fax a copy of her signature to the restaurant. Mildred didn't have a fax machine and was unable to make the trip. Many people at the restaurant, including several staff, offered to pay Matrice's bill, but the manager thought it a better idea to call the police because of Matrice's odd behavior. He said he was worried for her well-being, so they called the police department and asked for someone to come check on her, which you heard at the beginning of this episode. Shortly after, two deputies arrive and administer a field sobriety test along with a breathalyzer. At this time, she is determined to be sober. The deputies asked if there was any way that she could just pay the restaurant and go home. She asked if they could go check her car for her wallet because she thinks that she has it with her. The men search the car and instead find a small amount of marijuana in the middle console, but no wallet. They ask Matrice if the drugs are hers, and she confesses they are, which at the time was a citable offense. She could have been issued a ticket, but was instead taken into custody and booked. She was charged with defrauding an innkeeper in possession of marijuana. Later, when LAPD detectives searched Matrice's car, they did find her wallet, purse, and phone in the front floorboard on the passenger side of the vehicle. She was taken to the Lost Hills Sheriff's Station about 15 miles north of the restaurant, and her car was towed to an impound lot not far from the restaurant, but in the opposite direction of the police station, placing that much more distance between her and everything she needed to get home. The only thing Matrice had on her when she was booked was her ID and a set of keys to a car which is now nearly 20 miles away. By now, Mildred has called Latisse Sutton, Matrice's mother, and filled her in on the situation. Latisse calls the restaurant and speaks with the staff there. She finds out her daughter has been arrested and all about her odd behavior before the arrest. She then calls the station, around 12 a.m., to see if she needs to make the 60-mile drive tonight, or if she can wait until the morning. If she knows her daughter will be safe in a cell, then she'll wait. Latisse also had a 10-year-old daughter at the time who was asleep in bed. She is assured by the officer over the phone that Matrice would be held overnight and assured that she would be safe.
I am calling. I'm a little frazzled right now. I understand my daughter is being brought into the station. Matrice Richardson, have they made it to the station yet, and she's been booked?
Okay. Do you know where she's coming from?
It's some restaurant out in Malibu, and I didn't even think to get the name.
The only place we have somebody that's in custody that they just announced on the radio that they're coming up is from Joffrey's in Pacific Highway. It's okay. The only female that's being brought up to the station as we speak. They actually just put it on the radio right before you called.
Okay. I'm her mother.
Oh, okay.
And are you guys going to book her and then release her on her own recognizance tonight, because it's dark, she doesn't have a car, and I don't want her wandering out. I'm totally just taken aback because this is so out of character for her.
Yeah.
And you'll see when she comes in, she's well-spoken. I think the only way I will come and get her tonight is if you guys are going to release her tonight.
Yeah.
If she's going to be held in custody for some type of arraignment tomorrow, then I will wait until tomorrow. She definitely has no place, you know, I mean, she's not from that area, and I would hate to wake up to a morning report, lost somewhere with her head chopped off,
uh-oh.
So I guess I would have to come and get her. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're in Agoura Hills. The only thing is, at least in the station here, she will be separated, so nobody's going to be with her. So at least that's, you know, the plus thing, so you don't have to worry about her safety.
No, I feel safe with her being in custody. It's being released, but I'm worried about it. It's crazy out here. All right, well, then I will more than likely call and touch bases with you guys a little bit later.
Okay. Yeah, and she'll call you as soon as she comes in, too.
Regrettably, that was not the case. Less than an hour later, Matrice was released, and she walked right out the front door of the station. Latisse wakes at 5:30 a.m. and calls the station again to check on Matrice. It is then that she is informed that her daughter was released in the early morning hours. She inquires about filing a missing persons report. Hearing the worry in her voice, the operator suggests that maybe she'd taken a bus, but all public transportation in the area had stopped by 9 p.m. Here's how that call went.
Lost Hills Station, Baumgartner.
Yes, hi. My name is Latisse Sutton. I called not too long ago regarding my daughter, Matrice Richardson. How long before a missing persons report can be filed? Is it 24 or 48 hours?
That's long. Well, it depends on the circumstances, but I didn't take your call, so I'm not familiar with it. Did she just not return home after going out?
She was arrested last night. This is the first time she's been arrested. She's in an unknown area.
Mm-hmm.
She's never been in. She's without a vehicle. Nobody can find her.
And where was this at? Where was she arrested at?
your facility. Her name is Maitrice Richardson.
Okay. Do you know if she's here now, or was she released?
They said she was released.
Okay. And what time was she released?
At just shortly after 12 a.m.
Yeah. Normally, I wouldn't recommend doing one that soon.
Right. What is the time frame?
You know, I guess probably 24 hours would be reasonable. I mean, if there would be some mitigating factors, you know, where, you know, you would suspect maybe something, you know,
right? She doesn't know the area. She's never been in your area before.
Where does she live?
She is unfamiliar with that area.
Do you think she possibly could have gotten a bus home?
No. Listen, my child has never ridden a bus.
Okay.
No.
Right.
She would not know how to ride a bus.
I would probably wait till, you know, early this morning, and if she doesn't turn up, you can certainly call. I don't suspect anything bad happened.
I'm concerned because, first of all, I thought they were going to keep her overnight because she was highly intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
Something is obviously going on with her.
Have you talked to the jailer? And
Yes, I have. He said he tried to get her to stay, but because she was an adult, they had to let her go. I believe that she is highly depressed, and she's in a depressive state.
You know, it could be possible that maybe she... I mean, there's a lot of options and a lot of possibilities, and I don't think all of them would be, you know, something dire. But I can certainly understand your fears, you know, being your daughter and all that.
Well, I think she's depressed. That's what has me
That's worried you more than just her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That and the fact that she's in an area where she doesn't know where she's at.
Yeah. Does she take medication at all?
No, I believe it's a state that she's in right now because of just the weird activity that's been going on.
What's your name? What's your name?
Her name is Maitrice.
Okay.
Richardson.
Okay. And your name, ma'am?
Latisse.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you wait a couple hours and give us some time to kind of, I'll go back and talk to the jailer and try and get a timeline of when she was released and, you know, make sure she's not asleep in our lobby or anything like that. And then once you give us a call back in a couple hours, if she hasn't shown up or made contact with you, then maybe we can do something for you, okay?
Latisse arrived at the Lost Hills station the next day around 6 p.m. to file a missing persons report and was informed at the time that a call matching her daughter's description came in 12 hours before. The call came from a rancher 8 miles away in the area of Calabasas, California.
Well, Sheriff Station Office, can I help you?
Yeah, hi. Hey, this is Smith at Cold Canyon. We had a prowler walking around through the backyard here, but we don't know what the situation was. I don't know if you had a unit in the area. Might do a little drive-by or something.
Okay, where is this at?
This is Cold Canyon, like Hot and Cold in Malinito. And it's in the back of the house, which is right where Wood Bluff hits Cold Canyon. And we just had a strange woman walking through the backyard here. It's a fairly large property, and she was sitting on the steps right in the back of the house here. This is kind of a circular driveway, and the gates were closed, so we don't know where this woman came from.
And you said the cross was Wood Bluff?
Yeah, that's right. There's a horse trail, hiking trail access through here, but we've never had this kind of thing happen before.
What'd she look like, white, black, Hispanic?
You know, a tall, slim, black woman with afro hair.
How tall?
She was sitting down, stretched out on the wooden steps in the back of the house. Hard to tell, but she looked like she might have been medium to slightly tall, with a big afro hair, very skinny. And I think she was wearing maybe jeans or tight pants with a T-shirt.
You've never seen her there before?
No, never. Nobody ever does that. I mean, the people hike on the trail all the time. We, you know, the trail goes through our property, but we leave it open on purpose because it's kind of a nice thing for horses and people.
And you said she's laying across the steps? Or?
She was sitting kind of sprawled out on these wooden steps in the back of the house, right against the back of the house.
Since got up and left?
She's since gone, yeah. She's been gone about 5 minutes now. But as we followed over, we thought maybe a little drive-by wouldn't be a bad idea.
And what direction was she last seen headed?
Never saw her. Once she left, she just disappeared. I moved from one window to another. I said to her, I hollered down, are you all right? And she said, I'm just resting, or something like that. But she's certainly gone out of her way to get to that close to the house, because the hiking trail's not that close. It's on the ridge.
All right, well, since we haven't checked the area for her.
Appreciate that very much.
Not a problem, sir.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Lettice is understandably angered that this information has taken so long to get to her. Like we said before, about 12 hours had passed between the sighting and her being told about it. So she and a friend head to the area immediately to see if there are any signs of her daughter, but unfortunately, they find nothing. Matrice's mother was extremely worried because she feared her daughter was suffering from depression, like you heard in the call, and may have been having a bipolar episode, which she apparently struggled with. The journals investigators found in her car chronicled the past few days, and it appeared she was suffering from a lack of sleep. There was a need to find her immediately. It takes 3 days before a search is started for the missing woman. The family kept organizing searches for their missing daughter on their own. They continue to try and get help from the sheriff's station, but they just keep meeting resistance. They ask for video footage of Matrice from the station and are told that there is none for months before a video suddenly was found, a video which has been edited nonetheless. When asked why it had taken so long for the family to get this video, the station blamed it on the wording of the question. Basically, they asked for video of her coming or going from the station, and the video was just her inside the station. The video showed Matrice in her cell rocking back and forth and appearing agitated. She paces the cell and swings from the cell bars. Her mom described it like a childlike swinging. She is clearly upset. However, the station had been telling the Richardson family this whole time that they released the woman because she had no previous record and she was not acting strange or intoxicated. They had seen no reason to hold her, they said. When asked why they didn't just keep her overnight for observation, the station told the media that they were over capacity. However, records show that they were nowhere near capacity at that time. Apparently, Matrice made 4 phone calls from prison that night to her grandmother's phone, but Mildred said she only ever received the call from the restaurant, and the station's phone records were not working that night. When asked why they didn't offer her a ride back into town, the station's excuse was that there was no deputies at the station at the time Matrice was there. This statement is a contradiction to the video surveillance footage, which showed a deputy walking out the same door at the same time as Matrice, just moments after she did. This deputy was found in question, but says that he was just there to drop off a prisoner and then was quickly called away to another call. Claims he didn't linger at the station, and he doesn't remember seeing Matrice. A large-scale multi-agency search was finally launched on January 9, 2011, consisting of 100 to 200 volunteers, ground and air searches, horse-mounted officers and rescue dogs. But yet, the search still turned up nothing. On August 9, 2011, 2 park rangers were out checking an area that had been raided previously as an illegal marijuana farm. And during the hike, they stumbled upon Matrice's partially mummified remains. The spot that they were in was very remote and very difficult to find. She was only 8 miles from the station and only 2 miles from the rancher's home from the last 911 call. Deputies went against protocol and gathered the remains in a body bag and airlifted them back to LA. There was no team sent to the location for crime scene investigation whatsoever. Sheriff Baca made the announcement that the remains belonged to Matrice and that there was no evidence of foul play. He also said that only a skull and partial bones had been found, even though a nearly entire skeleton was recovered. This same sheriff would just 6 years later be a prisoner of his own facility when he is charged with impeding an FBI investigation. He was the head of what turned out to be a large group of dirty cops who would end up joining him in the lockup. The investigation against Baca and his men came following complaints of inmate abuse in the county jail systems. They were found guilty of that along with civil rights violations and assault of inmates and even jail visitors. They attempted to arrest and threaten an FBI agent and tried to hide an inmate from the FBI who was an informant for them. So to say this department had its issues was a gross understatement. Matrice's cause of death is still listed as undetermined. Her family settled a civil case outside of court for $900,000. If you have any information on Matrice Richardson's case, please contact the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department at 323-267-4800. 323-267-4800. All right, guys, there you have it. That is the case of Matrice Richardson. The very strange, open-ended case. So many possibilities, so much time unaccounted for.
So poorly handled.
So poorly handled, so much miscommunication.
Yes.
Also, Kristen, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Glad to have you, as always. Decided it was so much fun having you on the feedback session last week. I thought I'd have you on again, you know?
I think it just makes your job easier.
It does. It makes everything easier. Just passing off all my work to everybody else.
I'm on to you.
Are you? Yeah. I'm just the face. I'm just the face.
I just gotta
come out here and sound good. That's all I have to do. I can't even do that.
You do a great job.
but I wanted to bring you on because there are just so many little details in this case that have kind of brought me to my conclusion, but I don't want to forget anything.
Okay.
Number one issue I have with this whole, with this police department, I mean, obviously we established with some of the things that came out at the end, they weren't the most honest police department around. Imagine that. Imagine that. But to boldface lie to her mother and tell her that we will not release her, and then her mother says, if you do release her, please call me. I will come get her, even if it's tonight.
Yep. It's so scary because she did everything she could to make sure.
Literally nothing else you could have done as a mother to ensure the safety of your adult daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really
still ended up bad.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So if it comes down to it, this is all speculation from here on out, guys, but babe, I'm going to ask you first, what do you think happened to her?
I have no idea. I'm kind of torn between whether she got lost and...
Because she was pretty close to that rancher's home.
Yes.
She wasn't far away, less than two miles away.
She was walking, but the way that her body was found really baffles me because, like, her body was found and her clothes were further down, but she was, like, in this weird ravine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it had been 11 months.
Right.
So that's not necessarily where her body started.
Okay. Here's the thing. But surely they started their searches. Now, when I say they, I mean the family, the friends. Mm-hmm. They started where that man had called from. Right? Most likely they probably went to that same trail that these people used to walk on and walk that trail through and through.
Oh, the one he's talking about in
yes,
the video.
Yes, yeah. Where he says that people walk along the trail, but my yard is a distance away, you know, whatnot. So I would think common sense would say that I as a family would go there.
Yeah.
If she was called there, you heard about that 911 call, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we go there and start. Well, the family didn't find her.
Nope.
You don't think they walked that way? I mean, I guess they couldn't. They may have not walked out into the field or into the ravine where she was found.
That's my thing. Like, she had to have, if she was having a psychotic episode of some kind, I think maybe she, like, went over some kind of cliff unseen or something and it ended up down there possibly. But it just, like, it's so possible that she could have been murdered also and put there.
Yeah.
Or dropped somewhere.
Yes. Because the property in question that she was found on was known by the police.
Yes.
The police had recently done a big marijuana bust there.
Yes.
Right? And it was very remote. And now it was basically what? Police-owned property, if you will.
Well, it was like
under their jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was two park rangers that went up there to check on it.
Uh-huh.
So, like, they still are checking this area, and then that means there's also illegal activity in this area already.
Yep.
So, who knows who she actually ran into out there?
You know? Yeah, that's a great point.
Could have been anybody.
She just wandered out there and literally died.
Yeah, that's what I'm
like,
saying.
She like, could I think... have, like, on something, I don't know, or maybe, no, maybe she was just in a very bad, depressed state, didn't even want to eat. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't sleeping. Now, we do know she was going a long time without sleep.
Yeah, I do think it was something mental more so than a substance.
I agree.
Because of, like, having the test done and then She was showing signs of this weird behavior for some time before she actually disappeared.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason her mother called
and was so worried.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
She's like, I'm worried about my daughter. She's been going through depressed states. She's been going through bipolar states, and she's out there somewhere, and she's not acting herself in a place that she's unfamiliar with.
Right,
like.
That is my
all
thing.
I ask you to do is just hold her. That's all I ask you to do.
Why did they let her leave that station in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere? Where did you think she was going?
Yeah.
She had to walk down those dark roads in the middle of the night by herself. Like, kind of people just let her walk out there like that?
I mean, what if you're the police department, how can you chalk this up? You chalk it up to, let me guess, miscommunication. Right. Oh, so and so took the call. So and so took the call, but he gets off on this shift and blah blah blah. And then when at the shift change, somebody didn't know, and then she was like, "I'm ready to go. I want to leave." And so they were like, "Okay, well, you can leave."
Yeah.
And they let her just walk out of a police station in the middle of an area she has no idea.
See, and we don't know if that's what actually happened because there's no footage, and because the footage we have is edited and all that shit, like. We don't really know how much of what happened when she got into the station
right.
was actually true.
And that's frustrating, too, because they asked for the footage of her at the station.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, or coming and going from the station. They said, we want the footage of her coming and going from the station.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, well, we can't find it. Yeah. Right? Or they didn't have it.
Yeah, there was no footage.
Yeah, right. But they did have footage of her in a cell.
Mm-hmm.
And then... well, if you have footage of her in a cell, guess what? You watch that shit, and then when she leaves the cell, she probably left the fucking police department. Right. Like, it's pretty common. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then he tried to tell her over the phone, you know, oh, well, she may be asleep in the lobby. She may be this, that, at a bus station. Like, it just... Go
it's
check,
a slap
bro.
In the face.
Are you there?
Yeah, it's
Are,
a slap go, in the face.
Turn around and go fucking check.
Yeah.
It's like if you work customer service at a store and somebody's like, hey, do y'all carry this brand of batteries or whatever? You're going to freaking go check.
There was one call where she kept saying, my daughter, and she kept saying her name, Matrice Richardson.
Yes.
And the dude was like, well, do you know where she's coming from? Do you know what the... And I'm like, just look up her name.
Yeah, look up
Shouldn't
her name.
Shouldn't be that the
bro.
First thing that you look
okay,
up is her name.
I got another question for you, okay? When I was listening back and editing, I don't know how I didn't catch it the first three or four read-throughs on the timeline,
mm-hmm.
but they did not find her wallet or keys in the initial search of the car at the hotel. I mean, at the restaurant, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, but somehow later, after she's arrested, they are able to find all that stuff, no problem.
Well...
Where did it come from?
The LAPD finds it once they start an investigation into her now disappearance.
They find it easily.
It's right there in the floorboard with all the rest of her shit. Like,
yeah.
They found journals of her, like, for the last 5 days before she died. Like, mm-hmm. all these journals she had just manically written. And it was like, if the two officers that arrived at the restaurant that night had just done the work of, like, trying to find her wallet...
Yeah.
None of this shit would have happened if they'd have just taken a moment to notice a few things in her car that pointed to the fact that she was probably having some kind of mental break.
Right.
I feel like none of this shit would have happened. They would have taken her to a hospital and dropped her off with somebody she needed to be with.
Unfortunately, though, this took place in 2010, but even today... They're not trained for any type of mental illness and how to deal with that and what to look for in the signs. I'm like, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, that has got to be a huge portion of your calls.
On her behavior alone, I mean, they felt it necessary to call you out there because she was acting so weird.
Right.
And you gave it a test and she's not intoxicated.
Right. So now, okay, still weird. So we need to figure out what the issue is.
It's like, okay, well, that's just gone. It's like, it's... The problem didn't just fix itself.
So this, I have to ask this. Do you think that the police department had any involvement in this? Or do you think it's just negligence? It's the only thing they're guilty of?
I think it's extreme negligence. That's what I'm saying. I think it's extreme negligence they are guilty of. Yes, both police departments, the LAPD and the investigation, and then the Lost Hills.
But see, this is what's so frustrating about these types of police departments, though, is because when the shit hits the fan, they just fire everybody and bring in other people.
Yeah, right?
It's like, it's no big deal. It's like, oh, yeah, well, they're all gone, so we're all new people,
but
so you can't be mad at us.
The problem.
You can't be mad at us now because we haven't done anything yet. We don't have anything bad on our record yet.
Exactly.
We're new people.
And that's what Kamala Harris tried to do when she came in and like took over the case and tried to reopen it. And then
she took over this very case?
She didn't take over it. She was the Attorney General of California.
Okay.
And she like reopened it and reevaluated it.
Uh-huh. And what did she say?
Once she got elected, she just kind of was like, oh, there's nothing wrong with this case. She just kind of wrote it off. It was kind of shitty.
Oh,
it was really shitty. It was a really shitty thing to do. And then another mayor, her dad has tried to get everybody he can possible on this case. And he's had to go to extreme lengths just to talk to people.
Matrice's dad?
Yes.
Okay.
His name's Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to pretend to be a former NFL football star,
yeah,
interested in buying property. I read this in an article.
Oh my God.
And just to get an appointment to speak with the mayor about his case. Like he kept trying to call him and get meetings with him and scheduled and stuff, and he kept just like, you know, pushing him back off and everything. And when he called the real estate company, within a day he had an appointment with him.
Oh, absolutely. And you're talking money.
It was
now
just insane.
You're talking that language.
Yeah. Her dad is fighting for justice for this case still, but because it's still open technically,
right? And no one else is going to.
No,
I mean, like,
police shores that, really.
Like, that's what's so frustrating. It's like the police can just resolve all responsibility just by swapping out the department.
Yeah,
you know, that happened in a small town near where we live. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not that long ago, and the town is probably still run the exact same way,
yep,
just with new faces filling the shoes.
But the whole
somebody's got to take the fall.
Town loses faith in the department at that point.
Oh God, the whole relationship, yep, with the police department is defiled. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And if God forbid you are a good cop coming in there trying to right the wrongs,
sorry, honey,
good luck.
Wrong job.
That's a tough spot. That's a tough spot to be for sure. Well, all right, guys. Well, that's our thoughts. That's our opinions. And that's all the loose ends I wanted to tie up with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's one more thing to do, I guess. Let's get Lauren's opinion this week in this week's Lauren's Synopsis.
It's time for Lauren's Synopsis. Breaking down the case like cardboard boxes. It's time for Lauren's Synopsis. Breaking down the case like cardboard boxes.
What's up, people? Lauren here. Here to get my thoughts on this week's Strange and Unexplained. The tragic and totally unavoidable death of Maitrece Richardson, who was a 24-year-old woman living in California and went missing on September 17, 2009, after being released from police custody in the middle of the night, 12:30 in the morning, after displaying odd behavior, which was the reason why she was in custody to begin with. Even though she had not been drinking, she was going through some sort of an episode with her mental health. She'd been displaying odd behavior for days prior, and on the evening of September 16th, 2009, she had entered Joffrey's restaurant in Malibu, an area that she was not familiar with as well. She had gone to this restaurant alone for whatever reason. Maybe she was meeting friends. That is what she told the police later, is that some friends were going to be picking her up after she left the police station. More on that in a minute. But the staff at the restaurant called the police because Maitrece was not paying her bill and displaying odd behavior. Now, the bill was less of an issue because there were other patrons that were willing to pay for the bill, but they were concerned about her odd behavior. Police took her in to the jail in Calabasas, where her mother, Maitrece's mother, called on several occasions, and this is audio recorded, and she is displaying serious concern for her daughter, not so much that she's been arrested, even though this is very out of character for Maitrece. She had never been arrested before. She'd never even done anything close to arrest worthy. She was a model child, a student and citizen. But her mother knew that she had possibly been depressed recently and going through a hard time. And she was concerned that the police were going to let her go to walk the streets in an area that she was unfamiliar with because her car was impounded, so she couldn't drive home. And that was her mother's biggest concern. She said that, you know, I would rather you guys keep her overnight and I can come get her tomorrow. She had a young daughter at home as well. So it wasn't easy for her to go pick her up, but she did say that I'd rather, you know, come pick her up than you guys let her go. And that was her biggest concern. She even mentioned, you know, I don't want my daughter walking around. You don't know what people will do. And I don't want wake up to the news that she was beheaded or something like that, which is dark when you consider that she would later be found dead. She would be missing for 11 months before being found deceased in August of 2010 by park rangers. Now, more stuff happened that night after she left. There was a person that had called that lived on a large property in Calabasas and said that he had seen a young lady sitting in his backyard, and he had called out to her and asked if she was okay, and she said she was fine and wandered off. Not far from there, just a few miles away from where she had been last seen, and that was confirmed by dogs sniffing the area, confirmed that it was Maitrice that was in that yard that night. Not far from there, a few miles, is where her body would be found, and it had been, you know, 11 months, and it's believed that it was not long after she left that restaurant or left the jail and was seen in that yard that she perished. Her remains were skeletal at this point, and her clothes were nearby, but they were not on her at the time she died, which is odd. But they, you know, the coroner and basically said that this was not a murder, that this was some sort of a death from natural causes. There was no damage to her skeletal remains. So it's bizarre. It's hard to comprehend what could have happened to her. She was clearly having a hard time and confused. The conversations that people say that she had with them didn't make sense. And it's you know, odd that she was even at this restaurant in an area she didn't know to begin with. Part of me wonders, did she get lost in the woods? Did she succumb to the elements? Or did someone stumble across her and take advantage of her, knowing that she was alone and that she was confused? It would have been an easy target for, you know, some sort of predator out there. These are things that I don't know, but one thing I do know is that her death is totally the police's responsibility. They had her in custody. They had a mother call and express concern that, you know, that her daughter would be wandering around those streets alone. She'd never ridden a bus before. She'd be really vulnerable if that was to happen. And the police, you know, heard her concerns and still half an hour later allegedly released her. And now we know, you know, she would perish that night or shortly after the next day. Who knows how, but it wouldn't have happened had the police heard her mother's concern and called her. All they had to do was call her mother before they released her and say, hey, do you want to come get Maitrice? We will hold her until you get here. Or do you want us to hold her overnight? You know, I know she was a grown adult at this point and, you know, she was not intoxicated. So they were, you know, basically obliged to let her go. But at the same time, like there was a reason you guys brought her in. She was displaying odd behavior. You don't have to be intoxicated to be a threat to yourself or the public. You can be going through, you know, a manic episode. And she was displaying all sorts of odd behavior. And then she also didn't know where, you know, she was not from this area and she didn't have a car. So you're just releasing her out there in the middle of the night. It makes no sense to me. She died because they did that, because that decision they made. And I know the family has since sued the county, LA County, and they've gotten, you know, nearly $1 million in a lawsuit for wrongful death. And that's rightfully so, but it won't bring Maitrice back. And all we can hope is that they've learned from this and never do something like that again. As for what happened to her, I don't know that we'll ever know, unfortunately. I think there many things are possible. She, you know, could have, like I said, stripped down her clothes and been confused and wandering around and lost in the middle of the night and succumbed to the elements, or someone could have come along and, you know, done something to her. I don't think we'll know, because there was too much time between when she died and when she was found. And I think all the evidence that would have been there was destroyed at that point. So yeah, all you can hope is that the system learns from this and doesn't make these mistakes anymore. But yeah, that's my thoughts. Terrible case. And I hope you guys enjoyed my thoughts. See you next week.
All right, Lauren, thank you very much for that excellent synopsis. It seems as though we are all on the same page. Whatever way you want to look at it, whatever happened to Maitrice Richardson is because of the negligence of that local police department in Malibu. I mean, there's just no other way to look at it. All the bases were covered. All the proper precautions were taken. There were plenty of people looking out for Matrice's safety and mental health. Unfortunately, the justice system dropped the ball on this one, which we see sometimes, which we see. Hopefully more will come out about this, and hopefully we'll have some type of conclusion. I know Matrice's mother would appreciate some type of closure in this case. That's just gotta haunt her every day. Like, why didn't I just drive down there right then? But she did everything that the mother of an adult person should do in that situation. And then still it didn't work out. But guys, let me know what you think. If you're in the Malibu area or anything, if you know anything about this case, you have any inside information, I would be interested. If you guys have any theories, let me know. And I'll try to keep you guys up to date on this case, as all my other cases. If we find out anything, most likely there'll be an update on Strange Shorts. All right, y'all know what time it is. Time to do a little housekeeping. If you love this show, if you like Strange and Unexplained, you like True Crime Guys Productions, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Patreon is the wheels of this podcast. You can check it out at patreon.com/SNU podcast. The link is below in the description, as always, guys. And at the $3 tier, you will not only get access to all of the Strange and Unexplained episodes early on Thursdays, but you'll also get access to another show that me and a good friend of mine, Andy, do every Monday called Strange Shorts. If you're unfamiliar with Strange Shorts, you can go and listen to 2 episodes I believe I have available on the free platform. And on those episodes, we cover new, current, and usually lighter topics in true crime. We do have some more serious debates on there, some more serious stories if they are in the headlines. But we try to bring a little levity, almost like a little crime palate cleanser, if you will, some lighter crime. Again, that's patreon.com/SNU podcast. And if you can't support on Patreon right now, no big deal. If you guys could just follow, like, subscribe, or whatever the button is on your podcast app, that helps us tremendously. And if you have the ability to leave a review, please do, guys. We really appreciate that. I want to give a shout out to a couple people who left 5-star reviews this week. Number one, Heather Burks left a 5-star review, says, "Love this podcast. I wasn't sure if I'd love this because I love to know what happens in the end. However, these are great stories. I love how Michael and Lauren both give at least some theories or guess at the end of most episodes. These are so great to get you thinking and wondering what really happened. They are great storytellers, and this is a fantastic podcast." Thanks, Heather. I appreciate that very much. Also, I want to give a shout out to WiseGuy613. Left a 5-star review, said, "Sandu for life. You guys rock. Fire emojis, never stop." That is the plan, Wise Guy. That's the plan, to never stop. But guys, go give us a follow on social media at SNU Podcast, on Twitter, Instagram, Strange and Unexplained on Facebook. And of course, if you haven't checked out our other podcast, True Crime Guys, please go check that out. We also have another podcast that Lauren does with a friend of his called Full House Fantasy Football Podcast. So if you don't know, Lauren and his friend Tori host a podcast, and they tell you all about fantasy football, who to sit, who to play. They're actually really good at it, unlike me, who's last place in my league this year. So that's just fantastic. But yeah, if you guys want to get better like I need to, go listen to Full House Fantasy Football Podcast. You won't regret it, guys. All right, I think that's just about it. We'll see you guys next week for Sandu Stories if you're on Patreon. If not, look out for a new episode of Strange Shorts. All right, guys, be strange. Just don't be strangers.